Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 169, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou visitest the earth in love, and send the showers from above, enriching all the land. Thy streams exhaustless bless the field, preparing it the grain to yield, provided by thy hand. And what follows, Psalter 169, the three stanzas. Thank you. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Isaiah 48, beginning with the 16th verse to the 17th verse of chapter 49. And afterwards from the Confession of Faith, article number 17. Isaiah 48, beginning with the 16th verse. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and His Spirit has sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou wast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and thy offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. Go ye forth of Babylon, flee from the Chaldeans, with a voice of singing declare ye, tell this, uttered even to the end of the earth, say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. And they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother, hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now, saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be a servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers. A king shall see and arise, a princess also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, and to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, and to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pasture shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highway shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and bring forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers, and they that made thee waste, shall go forth of thee. Thus far the scripture reading. From the Confession of Faith, Article 17, The Recovery of Fallen Man. We believe that our most gracious God, in his admirable wisdom and goodness, seeing that man had thus thrown himself into temporal and spiritual death and made himself wholly miserable, was pleased to seek and to comfort him when he trembling fled from his presence, promising him that he would give a son who should be made of a woman to bruise the head of the serpent and would make him happy. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it is in the way of thy providence and in the way of thy mercy that in the middle of this week that thou was granted the opportunity to come up to thy house, that in the busyness of life that we may lay our labors aside, and may in this evening that all the temporal cares may fall away, and then we may place herself under thy word and eternal testimony. Then we are the recipients, we and our children, of so many blessings from above. Ah, Lord, they cannot be numbered, and they cannot be comprehended. We may acknowledge thee that in the day of yesterday, that thou wast gladdened and refreshed the earth with refreshing showers. We humbly ask thee, wilt thou in this evening hour ascend those refreshing showers of thy Holy Spirit upon us and our children, our Lord. May thirsty souls have come up in this evening hour. And now concerning thanksgiving, Lord, thou knowest how poor we are. And there is a people that has learned it in beginning, and that learns it each time by renewal, that they are so poor of self. When there are so many needs, temporal needs, spiritual needs, needs for the time, needs concerning eternity, and then so poor in prayer. Also with the abundance of thy blessings, that they are so poor in gratitude. Ah, Lord, thou hast a people upon the earth that learn how poor and needy they are. Concerning humility, have such a proud heart that they are so poor in confession. Oh, it can be a confession of the lips, but thou requires a confession of the heart. Lord, they are so poor in repentance, repenting of their manifold sins. They are so poor concerning their thoughts, their desires, those desires after thee, the living God. Oh, to be as the psalmist of old, as the heart panteth for the water brooks, as so panteth my heart after thee, O God. Lord, may it please thee to remember that poor people. Ah, we are all so poor of self. Wilt thou teach in this evening, by the first time and by renewal, and may our eyes be upon thee. Oh, it is written in thy word, for a poor, for a needy, for a sinful people, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich for your sakes, he has become poor, that through his poverty ye might be rich. Lord, we have to confess by renewal in this evening that of self. We have nothing to offer thee that can be pleasing in thy sight. We have nothing to avert thy wrath. And to that end, wilt thou come down with thy power and with thy spirit, Lord, be a surprising God. Ah, may a few souls, may they have come up in this evening to buy corn. And for those souls that have not come to a saving knowledge of the greater Joseph, Ah, Lord, fill their sacks and return their money, that they may be given to see that it is by grace and grace alone. May there be a people with their empty sacks, to come to the greater Joseph, to behold those storehouses so full and so sufficient, and that there may have been a beggar's prayer, that they may receive something in their empty sacks, given to behold Joseph, and also to receive a word of comfort. Lord, wilt thou convert us and our children, as thou hast converted all thy people? Oh, bless thy word to that end in this evening hour, that there may be souls whose eyes may be opened, the hearts opened, the ears opened, that they may be given to see how poor they are indeed. We have heard it out of thy word, that there is no peace for the wicked. But we have also heard of the blessings which thou hast laid away for thy people, and to that end, may it please thee by thy Spirit, that a people perhaps that have come up full, satisfied, and not so concerned, maybe even have forgotten to ask of thee, that thou may convert them in this hour. Wilt thou empty their sacks in beginning? There is so much that needs to be emptied. Oh, Lord, thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. Thou hast promised that thou wilt work from generation to generation to that end. Forsake and leave us not, and may the prayers be multiplied to that end. May the manifold means of grace, may they be blessed, accompanied by thy Holy Spirit. Then thy kingdom shall come, and then thy name shall be glorified. We remember thy church all over the earth. Bless thy word among Jew and Gentile. Bless thy word in the Western countries. Bless thy holy word in our community, where there is so much ignorance and so much deceit, even atheism. Ah, Lord, have mercy upon our poor country that continues to sink further away from thy word and from thy testimonies. Woe unto us that we have sinned, and so little acknowledgement of thee, no acknowledgement of sin, and no call to repentance impress it upon all our hearts, that we and our children are part of this nation. Thy judgments are hanging low over the earth. Oh, may it be used, that there may be a hastening for us and our children, and a repentance of our evil and worldly ways, and a mightily crying unto thee for mercy. Ah, that is the only hope for us and our children. We commend unto thee all the mourning ones, our elderly ones, all under the physician's care. Remember the handicapped ones with those that care for them, the crosses and the burdens. Wilt thou bless and remember all our family circles. O Lord, bless the labors of our hands wherever we are called to be, the mothers in the home with the children, all at work on the road. We need thy protection, thy provision, and thy care from moment to moment when thou withdrawest thy hand for a moment. Then we are no more. Press the solemnity, the reality of life upon all our hearts. Lord, in this evening, then we humbly ask thee for the opening of thy word, the opening of our hearts, the opening of our mouth, the opening of the heavens. Lord, come down and visit this vine with thy sovereign good pleasure. Grant tokens of thy favor. May there have come up a few souls, that in this day have earnestly begged of thee, for even a small token of thy favor. Souls where it seems that thou hast forsaken, that thou hast forgotten them, that thou knowest no longer where they live, and that they hearest not their cry. But wilt thou then comfort them in this evening hour? Be then a surprising God. Lord, we have nothing to plead upon, but thy mercy only. Wilt thou remember all that we forget? Bless what needs thy blessing, and that the outgoing of the service may be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 253, the stanzas 6, 7, 9, 10, and 12. That man is blessed whom thou, O Lord, with chastening hand dost teach thy will. For in the day when sinners fall, that man in peace abideth still. And what follows? 253, 6, 7, 9, 10, and 12. Thank you. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then by renewal we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Isaiah 49, the verses 14, 15, and 16. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Our text words speak of the Lord's answer upon the complaint of a distressed Zion. Four thoughts. First, upon the rich promises for Zion. Secondly, the mistaken claim of Zion. Thirdly, the beautiful example for Zion. And fourthly, the comforting instruction for Zion. Beloved congregation, the last time we have considered the living complaint of Zion, and then we have examined the Zionite, then we have asked the Zionite such pointed questions, and then we have heard that even with that complaint, that their speech telleth what liveth in their heart. Then surely it was a living complaint. Our boys and girls can understand it, that a dead person does not speak, does not feel, and does not have those complaints. Then the last time, then we have spoken specifically, personally, of the individual Zionite with that complaint. And I hope that for many souls it was not all a strange language, and that the number may be increased. And no, then we are not saying that Zion has spoken properly. We have mentioned that unbelief is the greatest sin in the life of the child of God. And there are times that they learn that it is so. Oh, with that desire to never disbelieve once more, a desire to have great thoughts of their gods. But when the Lord leads in those contrary, those mysterious, those roundabout ways, when it goes so different than they thought, and those are the leadings that the Lord holds with the child of God. Oh, it is true. There are times that the Lord may lead them softly, that the Lord may lead them with his kind hand, that they may be experienced, given to experience the Lord's special nearness, at times when the Lord may lead further. But when we read in our text, but Zion said, then it also speaks of Zion collectively. It speaks of Zion because of their sins, because of their refusal to hearken to his prophets and the Lord, that they would be taken into captivity in that faraway Babylon. And alas, alas for many, they could find their life in Babylon. But there was a distressed people, and that distressed people, they learn they are given to confess that it is all their own fault. Because we have heard that the Lord has said unto that people, oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Was because of their sins that the Lord has sent Nebuchadnezzar to chastise his chosen people, and that in Babylon they would learn in a special way what an exceeding bitter thing that sin is, and that also in the life of Zion, that the Lord does not step over sin, but that he shall deal with them. But now in our text words, then we read, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. That was the voice of Zion, that was in captivity. And now, congregation, then we do well, whether we are concerned with what Zion has said, and that faraway Babylon, is that ever our concern? The Lord forsaking and the Lord forgetting. But then I hear some children say, but that cannot be, because the Lord can never forget his church, because they are chosen, they are redeemed, and they are wrought upon by the Holy Spirit. And that is an absolute truth. That is a precious truth. That the King, that he shall always have a remnant upon the earth, that may be given to fear the Lord in sincerity, although many bitter things to write against themselves. But it is clear from the scriptures and from the history of the church that the Lord indeed, that it takes place, that he forsakes a people. We read in Revelations 2, of that church of Ephesus. Oh, they had many precious things in their midst. The Lord has richly blessed his holy word, but they were called to repent. Five of those seven churches in Asia Minor, where the word has bore such rich fruit, and then the solemn word of the exalted King, the Lord Jesus Christ, that they are called to repent. Or else, concerning that church of Ephesus, then the Lord would take the candlestick of his holy word from amongst them. And today, it seems, the Lord knows here and there who are his. But they tell us that we do not find the truth no more. Is that at times our concern? The Lord forsaking and the Lord forgetting. What shall be signs thereof? How shall we know congregation? What is now a clear proof that the Lord is remembering us in a special way, not forsaking? When there are boys and girls that may receive a new heart, the tender fear of the Lord, love the Lord, hate sin, weep over their sins, and that need to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it, boys and girls? Are there boys and girls that are busy with those holy things, with the Lord, with your soul, with death? That is a clear mark when that may be heard. Childlike way, marks of grace, when that does not take place, do we not have reasons to fear when the Lord departs from a people? This is usually step by step. In Ezekiel 9, I read that the Lord, the glory of the Lord, stood upon the threshold of the temple to leave. Is the Lord not forsaking us when there are not among our young people that are given by grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit, to make that precious choice of a Ruth? To forsake the world and to follow hard after the Lord. Young people, how is it? You made that choice. Have you become jealous of God's people? Those things cannot remain hidden. Though when the Lord begins to work, we shall do our best. But it cannot remain hidden. Then it shall be seen. God's holy word has a large place in our heart. So necessary. But not only among the young, the middle-aged, and the elderly ones. Oh, when there are those works, the work of the Lord, that we become the sinner indeed, that we receive those true and living desires after the living God. 'Tis a sure mark that the Lord knows of a congregation a special favor when the means of grace are richly blessed. Oh, when there are souls that may leave the house of God different than they have come. When there may be souls that have received an arrow of love and an arrow of conviction, and that they have to say with Ahab, "Carry me out, for I am sorely wounded." 'Tis a sure mark that the Lord still knows of a people when there are those that are building upon false foundations, that they are thoroughly uncovered. Oh, it is a mark for a people that the Lord has not forsaken them when God's people may have a close life at the throne of grace and exercised with our text personally, for their families, for the congregation. that they are given to tell the Lord, Lord, thou hast so richly blessed us above most of the people of the world. The means of grace, they are so abundant, more than they have been, more opportunities than in former generations. But, Lord, and when I mention these things, congregation, let us not forget the good things that the Lord has left us. The Lord has left many good and precious things in our midst, because it can be the danger that we become overly discouraged. I've heard it out of this chapter concerning the means of grace, that it can seem a plowing upon the rocks. But does the Lord not hold his hand still? And does that bring us on our knees in our inner chamber? That we are given to beg, Ach, Lord, whatever thou doest, forsake us not, leave us not, forget us not. Oh, surely, special tokens of the Lord that he knows of a people, when God's people, when they may be led further in the steps of grace, come to a saving knowledge of that precious mediator, be exercised with his names, his natures, offices, states, and benefits. Oh, surely a token that the Lord has not forsaken his people, a congregation, when his people may still receive visits, when the Lord speaks a word unto their soul, when the Lord grants special exercises for the building up of his church and for the glory of his name. Are there still those exercises, congregation? Are there those unbearable needs concerning Zion, exercised with his honor and with his glory? The Lord surely grants tokens to a people that he has not forsaken, that he is not forsaking, and that the Lord still has a work to do. When God's word may have a special authority, special place in the church, in the family circles, in personal life. Oh, are they not tokens of the Lord's favor? When the Lord's goodness, when it may have an effect, does not leave us untouched, but that there are times to be given, to be wonder his goodness, and that with a confession of our sin. And what a blessings that the Lord yet grants unto us and our children. Surely, yet tokens for a congregation that the Lord has and is not forsaking, when there may be a hearkening to the word, to the admonishments, and that there may be a repentance of our evil and worldly ways. Oh, when in the family circles, fathers and mothers, with an eye upon the Lord, to be given in all simplicity, who is sufficient unto these things, but to hold before their dear children the old truth and the old ways. Then surely yet tokens that the Lord has and is not forsaking, when the Lord comes with special callings, special trials, special afflictions, when the Lord comes with death, and it does not leave us cold and untouched, but brings us more in our knees, given to examine our lives, when there may be a turning unto the Lord. But Zion saith, the Lord hath forsaken me, and the Lord has forgotten me. Ah, surely tokens that the Lord has not forgotten a people, when there may be unbearable burdens, impossibilities in temporal things, but above all, concerning the welfare of Zion. Oh, surely, then there are tokens that the Lord has not forgotten the people. When this complaint, when they may be so exercised therewith, when the Lord grants the spirit of prayer and of supplication unto a Zion, to be given to cry unto the Lord, Lord, what thou withholdest, withhold not the blessed administration of thy Holy Spirit. How is it, congregation? How is it concerning our text? How is it concerning our family circles? How is it in personal life concerning that forsaking and concerning to be forgotten? Ah, the Lord has a people that is more bitter than death. The Lord grant, may we be given to cry unto the Lord. What did you think about yesterday, congregation? When the Lord yet granteth refreshing showers instead of fire from heaven and brimstone, what did you think about, boys and girls? Did you also think about the church and about your family, and that you said, Lord, now upon the dry earth, thou hast been so gracious to grant yet refreshing showers. Ah, wilt thou do it in the church? Has that been your prayer this evening? For those refreshing showers, oh, have you told the Lord how hard your heart is, unfeeling? Oh, by nature, dead in sins and trespasses. But now for that Zion we must continue. Our third thought, the beautiful example of for Zion. Then the Lord has waited for Zion to utter her complaint. Oh, when Zion has said, the Lord hath forsaken me, then the Lord did not cut it off, but then the Lord has allowed Zion to finish her utterance. And what did the Lord now say to Zion? Oh, did the Lord now come with a long theological discourse concerning the precious doctrines in the Bible concerning Zion. Did the Lord now rebuke Zion for speaking so unadvisably with their lips? No, that we do not read. The wisdom and the love of the Lord to deal with his people. We could say the same. Sometime it happens in a family circle that there is a child that is very tired and very discouraged at night. And sometime, then they speak unadvisably with their mouth. Of course, that is not good, boys and girls. But what do such parents then do? What does such a mother then do? Does she speak long about what is written in the Bible? No. Then such a mother, she picks up the little child and gives him a hug and puts him to bed. The Lord deals. Not according to what that people deserve. Oh, when we consider Zion and Babylon, then upon, oh, it was a living complaint of the Lord's dove. Then the Lord is given that Zion may unburden herself. Song of Solomon 2 verse 14. Oh, my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me hear thy voice and see thy countenance, for thy countenance is comely and thy voice is sweet. Oh, would the Lord hear more as people as a dove, as a mourning dove, when they may be given to tell the Lord all things. Lord knows all things. But the Lord has said, open wide thy mouth in Psalm 81, and I will fill it. Thus the Lord, he deals so tenderly with the Zion. To say it simply and reverently, congregation, then Zion can do longer without the Lord than the Lord with a Zion. What a precious truth. What a deep and what an unfathomable love. Because Zion and Babylon, they could never say they deserved it. Have sent it all away, ruined it, maybe a soul. In this evening hour, that has told the Lord, Lord, I have ruined it all. I have sent it away after so much goodness and so much mercy. And then still so much sin. Then upon that complaint, then the Lord did not go back where he had found that people, that he has chosen that people, that he has delivered them out of the land of Egypt, that he has cared for them, the pillar of cloud, the manna, the water out of the rock. No, the Lord did not speak of those things. But then the Lord has comforted his people. Are their souls? Are their comfortless souls? They can be so tossed to and fro. Can be such perplexities. But now the Lord has said, he has given a beautiful example. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb. Thus the Lord is given to speak of a mother in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, then in different places. We hear of God as Father. Of course, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But then in the Old Testament, there are places that the essence of God is described as Father, never as Mother. But as a Father, creation, providence, His power, His upholding, His caring hand. But now for Zion, that is so distressed, hath forsaken me, implies that they know different times. They know what it is, the nearness of the Lord, and that makes that forsaking more bitter. And what else? All their own fault, that the Lord has done nothing but good. But now the Lord holds. Before that distressed Zion, we can see it, the tears running down their cheeks. Not a dead complaint, a lively complaint. It grieves them to the sorest. Comes out of the bottom of their heart. How often we can have much lip work that our heart is not with it, but we can feel it, we can hear it out of our text. Zion, sorely distressed, feeling that separation and that breach. And then we read, can a woman forget her sucking child? Thus it speaks of a mother that has bore the child under her heart. And a mother the Lord has created with special gifts and qualities that they can comfort. Sometimes you see it in a family circle. When a little child is born, I think our boys and girls have seen it, when you receive the baby in the family, then sometimes father has that little child. And as long as that child is not too fussy and does not cry too much, then it is well. But when that child becomes very fussy and starts crying, boys and girls, what does father then do? Then he hands that little child over to mother. Comfort, it's our text written about, of course, mother to feed, but also her special gifts that she may comfort the child. And now the Lord of Zion. Distressed Zionite, who are given to feel so forsaken and so forgotten. Then I have a question. Can a woman, a mother, forget her sucking child? We have the examples. Does not mean that a father cannot comfort, but a mother has a special gift, and therefore does not say in her text, can a man forget her sucking child? Think of the examples in the Bible. Hagar in Genesis, in the book of Genesis, when they have run out of water, then she has placed that boy at a distance. It was too much for that mother heart of Hagar to behold that her child would die of thirst. Think of in the reign of King Solomon, 1 Kings 3, when there were two mothers that have both received the child. They have lived in sin. But the love of the mother for those children, and then one child has died. And then they both said that living child was their child. And then Solomon says, bring a sword. And then we shall divide that child into two. Boys and girls, what did now the mother of that child now say? Oh, let the other mother have it. Thus, can a mother forget the son of her womb? And then the Lord has said, yea, they may forget. Can happen that mothers, because of distress and need, that they can nearly lose their mind. We have the example of King Joram. When there came a great famine in the city of Samaria, then there were two mothers at their wit's end, so hungry that they have finally agreed that they would eat their children. And then the one child had been slain. But then, oh, that other mother, and they have come to the king. They tell us when Jerusalem was destroyed that there were also mothers that have done the same. Yea, they may forget. Even worse, we read of the Israelites that there were those of following the custom of heathens, that they have caused their children to walk through the fire or even placed them upon the red-hot arms of Moloch. And so they would die. And in our day, what an untold number are murdered in the mother's womb. That respect, we also have a calling that our voice may be heard. Thus the Lord has said, yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget. That is that will of that covenant. That is that will of free and sovereign grace. And then the Lord has further explained that yet, that is our last thought. Let us first sing. Psalter 117. Let us only sing 2 and 3. O Lord, my God, overwhelmed in deep affliction, far from thy rest to thee I lift my soul. Deep calls to deep and storms of trouble thunder, while over my head the waves and billows roar. 117, only 2 and 3. at the Lord's answer upon the complaint of a distressed Zion, upon the rich promises for Zion, the mistaken claim of Zion, the beautiful example for Zion, and now the comforting instruction for Zion. And then the Lord says, and in this chapter it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, behold, O distressed Zionite, behold, pay attention, as something very special, that has a particular instruction, and that is upon your complaint, upon your thoughts, that I have forsaken and forgotten you, because it can never be and it shall not be. And therefore we read, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. And that word graven, that means to be inscribed. Oh, we read of different things that were graven. Think Exodus 32 concerning the two tables, whereupon the law was written, then the Lord has graven those words into those tables of stone. Concerning the high priest, then we read of that breastplate, and that the names, each name of the tribe was engraven upon those stones, upon that breastplate. We also read of the stones upon the shoulders of the high priest, the stone on each shoulder, and then upon each stone was engraven six tribes of the children of Israel. And now Christ, as says in our text, oh, what a comfort for a people that is afraid that the Lord knows no more of them. Ah, that the Lord has never begun in their life, that it was only a temporal work. But ah, that living complaint, that is a mark of the true mark of the Lord. Oh, a concerned and a troubled people, because to miss the Lord here in this life is worse than death. And when they think of eternity, that has a beginning and that shall never have an end. Behold, I have engraven thee upon the palms of my hand. Sometime it happens when someone needs to remember something and has not a piece of paper but has a pen or a pencil. Then he writes something upon his hands that when he comes home that he can copy it and that he can remember it. But when we write something upon our hands, then it can even be when we work. And when we sweat, then it is erased. And when we try to read it, that it is no more visible. But now Christ in our text word says that he has engraven, cut into his hands, the name of his church. Must not misuse those texts. Does not mean that the Lord is saying that we are allowed to mutilate a cut in our flesh in the Old Testament. Then I read in Leviticus 19 verse 28, ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you, for I am the Lord. When missionaries, when they came on heathen fields, when they come on heathen fields, what do they find? Then they find many of that people that poke holes in their bodies and that paint themselves. And now when we see when our country is returning to heathendom, then the same thing is happening. Thus we can understand, we may never use this text to say that is allowed. Think even our children can understand that would be very wrong. but now. All for Zion, with her complaint, with her fears, with her thoughts, and with her troubles, with her perplexities. Ah, then in our text, then Christ says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Oh, that blessed mediator, were his hands, those blessed hands, that have done nothing but good, where he has laid his hands upon the children, he has broken the bread, he has raised up the sick and the afflicted. Then they were pierced. They were pierced by those nails. He was hung on that blessed cross. Oh, then in our text, then Isaiah, as the evangelist of the Old Testament, then he may point to that blessed mediator. Oh, he has spoken, behold, I have engraven thee upon the palms of my hand. And when it may be engraven, when it is cut into our flesh, then it shall never be erased. And so it was with that blessed mediator. Oh, in our text words, then we have a foreshadowment what would take place 8 days after the resurrection. Oh, Thomas, the complaint. The Lord hath forsaken and forgotten me. Ah, Thomas thought that Christ was still in the grave. It is true, the reports have come, but he could not grasp it. He could not believe it. His life has come to an end, as it were. And then those disciples, with a heart full of love, then they have said, Thomas, we have seen the Lord. Except I see the print in his hands and that wound in his side, oh, I will never believe. But then 8 days later, then Christ was given. Oh, we would say he has come especially for Thomas. What a blessing that would be if that may happen in this night, especially for those Thomases. And characters also play a part, because Thomas, many times he saw things from a dark side, but then 8 days later, then Christ, as it were, then he was given to repeat our text, behold, I have engraven thee upon the palms of my hand. And then Christ has said, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hands and thrust it into my side, and be not faithful, but believing. Oh, comfortless Zionite that can see it no more, so distressed and so troubled. Oh, then in this evening, then it may be declared that precious Savior, behold, I have engraven thee upon my hands. Ah, there it is declared, his willingness and his love, oh, his faithfulness, and what he has done to purchase Zion, that he had to offer his life, shed his blood. He has cried out, it is finished. And therefore Zionite, the Zionite shall and can ever be forsaken. Oh, it lieth so sure in the work of a triune God. And how is it now possible for a Zionite that has sinned everything away, because the Lord in his justice, he requires perfect satisfaction. No, he never climbeth off the throne of his justice onto his throne of mercy, but all his attributes are and shall continue to be glorified. Ah, that is because that blessed Savior, because he was forsaken of God. The fourth crossword, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And as we read in the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper, that the church shall never be forsaken. Ah, may Zion in this evening be given to look upon those pierced hands, where it is declared that satisfaction has been made, that he has merited salvation, and as a reward upon that work he has received this church, his bride, as a reward upon that labor. Oh, has he not declared before he ascended into heaven that he shall never forsake, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Ah, well, we have mentioned the breastplate, that the high priest, that he has carried the names of the children of Israel upon his heart. Oh, that blessed Christ, then at the right hand of the Father, with those engraven hands, that he may present him to his Father. Oh, he may intercede, he may demand upon his finished work. Ah, let him not sink into the pit, because I have found a ransom. Ah, the prophet Isaiah, for those troubled Zionites in captivity. What an encouraging word. Oh, and those engraven hands, there it is declared that the salvation of the church lieth sure, that justice has been satisfied, that the price has been paid. He has cried out, it is finished. Oh, and those engraven hands, the foundation of the salvation for the church. But then we read more. Thy walls are continually before me, O Zion and Babylon. Many times a weeping church, but Zion, do you not have that promise that the Lord has given, that after 70 years you shall return to the promised land and that Jerusalem shall be rebuilt? Oh, Zion had that promise, but it looks so impossible from man's side, a feeble people, no strength. The mighty king of Babylon, the mighty walls, impossible from man's side. But now for that people in Babylon, ah, maybe there is a soul in my midst, was such an impossibility. Maybe even a soul concerning that impossibility of promise. But can no more. And it shall no more can be. Encouragements received in the past that you do not even dare to pick it up anymore. So impossible, so it was for Zion and Babylon, of course, unless when by his Spirit the Lord granted that faith. Oh, when the Zionite could look above the king, above the walls, above the army, to look unto the Lord who is mighty indeed and wonderful in counsel. All faith is such a wonderful thing. But now Zion felt so forsaken and so forgotten, and therefore Christ has added, thy walls are continually before me. When you have an architect and a builder, and they are building a building according to plan, then they have that building and that plan continually before them. Many times they carry that plan. But many times they have that plan nearly completely memorized. They know exactly how it must be. But it can be with the large building, that each time they need to look, that that building may be built according to specs and according to plan. Oh, concerning the walls of Zion, and an encouragement concerning Jerusalem that has been destroyed, then the Lord is saying, also before me, perhaps upon the palms of the hand, thy walls are continually before me. That refers to the city of God. Oh, in the context, it refers to that Jerusalem would be built. Oh, it concerns to that concerns that heavenly Jerusalem, concerns those lively stones, that they shall be brought from the ends of the earth, that the temple may be built. But now those walls are continually before me. Oh, for the walls. That speaks of the protection of a city. Oh, it is true. I read in Zechariah 2 concerning that third vision that there was a man with a measuring line to measure that city. And then that prophet has received such a rich revelation concerning the church, also the New Testament church, that there would be a time that there would be so many inhabitants in that city that the walls could not contain them, but that the Lord would be that fiery wall around about his people. And therefore Christ was given to declare, to that church in Babylon, to that distressed and troubled church, that have experienced that they could not believe of themselves, that faith is a gift of God by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. But now Christ is given to say, thy walls are continually before me. That city of Zion, that spiritual Zion, that church is continually before them. That the Lord shall never forsake, and that the Lord shall never forget them. Oh, what an instruction for that troubled and that complaining Zionite with her complaints, that the salvation of the church that lieth so sure. Oh, is there such a troubled people in my midst? And then what a rich measure. Oh, what a rich message. Then, as it were in our text words, then in this evening, it may be declared, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Oh, behold that suffering Savior who has loved himself to death, that the church may be set free. Oh, when we consider that surety, what he has done in the state of his humiliation, but that at the right hand of the Father, with those engraven hands and the walls of his church, that church shall be built, that shall continue, oh, young and old. There are still stones that must be brought to that heavenly temple. Oh, may the prayers be multiplied in these dark and evil times where the judgments of the Lord are hanging so low over the earth. The footsteps of King Jesus are being heard, but the salvation of the church lieth sure. May it be our concern. May the prayers be multiplied. My unconverted fellow travelers, have you now heard out of the last verse of Isaiah 48 that there is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord who cannot lie? Oh, may it be your prayer. May you be given to beg, that you may be included in those graven hands, that you may have a part of that city of God, to become an inhabitant here below, a little beginning, to praise the Lord for his goodness and for his unspeakable love. Oh, people of God, what a message in our text, that the salvation of the church lieth so sure. And to that end, may we be given to beg more for a closer life. Oh, I read in Isaiah 54, verse 7, for a people that can be so afraid and so troubled, that can perhaps, it is true in the life of that people that they do not know what they believe. But there are times that they believe it so sure for the church. With a holy jealousy that they are given to beg, Lord, remember me with a favor that thou bearest to thy people. That it is their desire and longing that they may be included in those engraven hands, that they may be part, an inhabitant of that city of God. And then in Isaiah 54, verse 7, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercy will I gather thee. We shall also mention Jeremiah 31, verse 20. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of thy hand. Thy walls are continually before me. Apostle Paul has written to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may acknowledge thee that thou wast given the opportunity that we could come to thy house. And oh, what a rich message for a troubled Zionite. Lord, who was able to declare the wretches and the depth thereof, but oh, we beg of thee, may thou use it, that for a people that can feel so forsaken, to look upon those pierced hands, upon that adorable and precious Lord Jesus Christ. Therein lies everything. Lord, remember the unconverted. Wilt thou grant special tokens that thou art not forsaking us, candlestick of thy word. May it burn brighter and brighter. And Lord, what better token could thou grant that also in this evening, boys and girls, youth, middle-aged, and gray-headed ones, that it would be heard that they were wrought upon, set in their guilt, but also that a soul, souls that have come up to thy house, so troubled and so disturbed, so many questions, but by true saving faith to be given to look upon him and those pierced hands. Lord, do it for thy honor and for thy glory. Thou wast never promised to work in places of wickedness and vanities. Ah, thou can do all things, but thou wast promised to work in a special way in thy house. Lord, may we be found more beggars at thy throne of grace. We now humbly ask thee to graciously watch over each and every one of us in the remainder of this week. Wilt thou grant strength and health for our labors, grant no traveling mercies, pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 221. Let us sing 1 and 3. Great Shepherd, who leadest thy people in love, amid cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. And what follows? 221, only 1 and 3. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.